The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Walsh.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And, you know, one of the great things about AI, first of all, AI, as we mentioned, keeps changing and keeps growing. And the things that people are doing with it is now pretty much on a minute-by-minute basis. We used to say a daily basis, but every single time I go to my LinkedIn or some other thread, I see some new things. And I want you guys, our listeners, to share with us some of the things that you are doing. You know, we're hearing from folks who are implementing AI in all sorts of different ways. As you know, we interview people and hear what they are doing with AI. But share with us what you're doing. First of all, some of you may be implementing stuff for some interesting industries. Maybe we'll interview you for an AI Today episode. But also, we want to keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening with AI. And that's really what this AI Today podcast is all about. It's hearing about not just what the future plans are, not hearing about products and whatever promises they say they may do or may not do. No, it's really a hearing about from people in the here and now about what they are actually doing with AI today.
Exactly. And so we love to get to talk to folks in the community, especially folks that are CPMAI certified and implementing and running and managing and thinking about running and managing AI projects. So for today's podcast, we're so excited to have with us George Fountain Jr., who is Senior Project Manager at Booz Allen Hamilton and is also CPMAI certified. So welcome, George, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. Thank you both. Sure. Well, I'm George Fountain Jr., and I have over two decades of experience in managing traditional software development projects. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I work for a major federal consulting contractor. But I do want to say that I'm here on my own capacity. I'm not speaking any of Booz Allen's policies, but it's strictly my own thoughts. So I've worked in support of six different federal departments in my career: defense, commerce, HUD, energy, State Department. But currently, I'm stationed and I worked at the National Institutes of Health. Interestingly, though, I didn't really start my career in technology. Now, I'm a former Army captain and a business administration major, but I transitioned, you know, from selling scientific supplies way back when to launching my own company. And I ended up selling that company, but I had become the small business of the year for the Defense Logistics Agency. You know, but that diverse career led me to be getting involved with nonprofit organizations. And I became a senior grants manager for a very large nonprofit. And from there, I contributed to the development of several key federal systems like grants.gov. And it was that experience that paved my way into IT and eventually to the career that I have right now. And I've probably done countless software development projects, either in a waterfall method, which is very linear, and now with Agile. So, but my journey took a really fascinating turn about 8 months ago. You know, I was watching an NFL game on a Sunday, and then a segment came on 60 Minutes, and it was the AI segment from Google, you know, where they were showing robotics, and the CEO from Google was on, and they were showing the robots. And that really sparked my interest in artificial intelligence. You know, then a couple of weeks later, I had to take a 26-hour drive, and I decided to binge on a podcast called AI Today. You ever heard of it?
Rings a bell.
Okay. I mean, I listened to every episode, and it fortified this new foundation and passion that I have for AI, and it led me to become certified as a cognitive project manager for AI and machine learning. You know, so now, you know, now I'm involved at my company and I'm deeply involved in pioneering new initiatives within Booz Allen.
Well, that's fantastic. We love that story. It's a great arc, you know, and hopefully now this is sort of like the next big resurgence, you know, kind of being brought into many projects, it sounds like, you know, bringing in your AI expertise and some of the stuff you've learned and now you know best practices. learned from other people's failures, which is the best way to learn, as long as you apply those learnings. And I think, you know, this is a really great story. It's your background, you know, all those agencies, the nonprofit side, the grants.gov. I think a lot of listeners will be very familiar with some of these agencies and things you've done. So you've had a lot of visibility into these things, not just AI, but also some of the data and analytics issues. You know, some of those problems, or many of those problems, are still the same problems that we face with AI, because AI, at the end of the day, is powered by data. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about the challenges that you have seen throughout the years, maybe even recently, in working with data and advanced analytics and now these AI projects.
Sure. Well, for me, you know, I've already experienced several challenges as it pertains to data. I mean, both personally and in a business realm. You know, one of my biggest personal challenges is dealing with all this information that I receive on a daily basis on just this subject alone. I mean, it comes from so many different sources that it feels like I start one place and it's just taking me down a rabbit hole and I can't quite get out of it. Then when you throw in generative AI, I mean, it can get to be really overwhelming. You know, before we started the podcast, I looked at all the prompts that I have written just this year alone on four different platforms using four different logins. I mean, what am I going to do with all that data? I'm not going to go back to the prompts that I really entered in January. So it's information overload on a personal side that it can become very, very overwhelming. And I'm sure it's not just me. I mean, then when you throw in social media or LinkedIn and all the other sources, you know, it can be overwhelming, as I said. You know, but on the job, in the short time that I have been doing this, you know, I've really witnessed some data quality integrity issues. You know, I see how poor data quality can really derail even the most sophisticated ML model. You know, another hurdle I've already experienced is the integration of these systems with existing infrastructure and legacy applications, you know, which can be very complex and very costly. And it's not always figured into the equation when you start. You know, additionally, there's often a skills gap I notice in my teams, you know, finding the right talent who can bridge the technological expertise that's needed with the business understanding. You know, that's a critical challenge that we have. And, you know, lastly, you know, the ethical considerations and the biases with AI models. You know, it's increasing and it requires really careful consideration. And you have to pay a lot of attention to that as a PM.
Yeah, those are really great insights. And we always like to talk about, you know, data is the heart of AI, right? And we continue to create more data every single day. So you're right, we do have a lot of challenges related to that. And we also talk about some of those challenges in our podcast, definitely in CPM AI certification, because we want others to say, hey, this isn't just you. These are large problems and you need to make sure you're addressing them. So when it comes to CPM AI methodology and the certification that you received, how has that helped you grow key skills for yourself, including providing the knowledge, lexicon, and credibility that you needed?
Wow. Well, first, I have to say, you know, the CPM AI certification methodology has been a real game changer for me. It really has. I mean, just having a robust step-by-step process to follow, similar to a PMP PMBOK guide, it's exactly what I needed, you know, to be able to move from SDLC, which is software development, you know, to the AI and machine learning projects. You know, navigating this, it's a very complex world. And if you don't have a methodology or a process to follow, you could give up very, very quickly. You know, certainly there are many similarities, you know, from a project manager's perspective of AI projects to the data projects, but the terminologies are very different. You know, the skill sets of the team are very different. You know, and the rapid pace of the technological changes and advances is very different with AI than it is from the software development. You know, but having that methodology, the framework, the step-by-step flexible guide that CPMAI provides, you know, helps to center me, and it bridges the gap, bridges that knowledge gap that I've had so far. So, but I also want to say about the training. So, you know, the CPMAI training, I probably got to be your biggest sales person. I really do. I mean, for me, there were just so many light bulb moments that went off in the training for me. I mean, and I've taken a lot of training, you know, BMP, all the Agile certifications, you know, scaled Agile. You know, for me, this was as impactful as my MBA. It really was. Not only did it enhance my technical vocabulary, but it allows me now to communicate more effectively with these specialists, you know, than I could before. And it's boosted my credibility a lot.
Well, that's important. That's really important. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that great feedback. And, you know, we work really hard. Part of the reason why, you know, this training, we're on version 7. As we say, think big, start small, iterate often. So you're seeing the result of many iterations of the training material. You know, every single time that we think that we're explaining things at a fundamental level, for example, we have to actually explain it in a more fundamental level. It's like we feel like, oh, people must already know this, or maybe they already have a background. The answer is not necessarily. And or maybe there's confusion, or maybe there's a high level understanding, but there's like a confusion. One of the earliest things we've done, I think we've started to see less and less of this now. But first of all, there was a lot of confusion over automation versus, you know, AI, and the RPA vendors were definitely pushing that because it was helping them raise money and increase the value of their stack prices. So they weren't opposed to it, but I think people realized that there's very different things. The other thing that I think we're seeing less and less of is the confusion between models and algorithms. I think the large language models have actually helped cure people of that, because no one's saying I built an algorithm yesterday like that. Thank goodness we don't see that when people mean that they just used GPT. They didn't build anything. So I think this is really very helpful. But to your point, I think the core of the reason why we put together this training and certification is not just to have education out there, which is important, but it's to have a method, a process, as you mentioned, you know, back in the day, waterfall, step by step. Well, there's a reason why waterfall worked when we had these long building cycles. We were building, you know, aircraft carriers, or we were building skyscrapers, or we were building the Saturn V rocket, which is where a lot of this came from. Yeah, we want to do things in a very methodological process. But when we are building for highly iterative, highly evolving things, when we don't necessarily even know what the user requirements are, we learned about Agile. And we're in the same place with AI, that anybody can put together AI systems. So guess what? Anybody is putting together AI systems, and the things are becoming very unpredictable and are having all sorts of knockoff effects. So I really appreciate you highlighting this. I think, you know, it's sort of, you know, the next question for you, where we'd love to sort of get your feedback is in some of the details, and by the way, for our listeners, we'll tell you a little bit, we have a free intro to CPMAI course. If you're interested in learning more about that at a high level, you can go to aitoday.live/CPMAI. But as mentioned, we'd love to get your advice, you know, given that you've been in this now, you know, what advice do you have for others as they run their own data analytics and AI projects, and perhaps some additional lessons learned and gotchas that maybe might not be so obvious?
Okay. Well, sure. Thanks for that question. Because for me, everything starts with the problem, you know, the problem first, you know what I mean? Because already I found that too often stakeholders and leadership, they get overly fascinated by the potential of AI applications. And they start asking people like me for hypothetical use cases without taking a step back to analyze the core problem that we're trying to solve. You know, I've had questions like, we need an AI system that can do X, Y, and Z. Give me some use cases for this. You know, the reality is that you really need to know how to solve a customer's problem first. I mean, you two know. I mean, I could go to a Gen AI and put in a prompt and get thousands of use cases within seconds. But, you know, my advice is to resist the temptation and really invest a significant amount of time up front, understanding the customer's need and their problem. And that's taught to us in the CPMAI methodology, I mean, through all the training that we have. So, but only once you have that should you really start moving into the next phase. I mean, because doing so, I mean, you run the risk of skipping over some low-hanging fruit, you know, opportunities that could really provide immense value to the customers in a very, very short period of time. You know, I mean, after all, blindly, you know, focusing on these fancy use cases, they don't always align with what the customer really needs. So, I mean, that's the first advice that I would give to someone, you know, but just a couple other quick points that, you know, thinking about this, you know, you have to understand the importance of this data quality as well. You really do. Unlike traditional software development where requirements and logic is very clear and very linear, these AI system projects, what I've seen so far, you know, they focus on the data and it's not always as clear as, hey, is it going to be this particular software that we're going to use? It's very, very different. So especially with the federal clients, it's you have to be careful of the data that you have and getting access to the data and then cleaning the data. There's the four importances of data. You have to be careful of that. You also need to embrace agile methodologies. You really do. You know, in the early years with HHS, they follow a process called EPLC, which has a number of stage gates, like two or three stage gates. Agile, and you go step by step. But with CPMAI, you may go from step one to step two, but you need to go back to step one. Or you may go to step three and you need to go back. EPLC doesn't really allow for that. So throwing in agile with it, you can be a lot more flexible. Let's see, what else? Dealing with, you know, cross-disciplinary teams. You know, the teams that I've had so far in my short career with AI, and you're dealing with not only developers, but you're dealing with data scientists, PhDs, but now you bring in some legal folks and you bring in the just other components like the legal and the ethics officer into some of these systems where you don't usually deal with those folks. So the ethical, the responsible use of AI is really paramount in these types of systems. And then lastly, I would say just the sheer ability to scale and integrate the challenges with doing that with AI systems. I haven't done that many yet. But I have found already that scalability and integrating with these legacy systems, they're challenges that you have to be aware of.
Yeah, I think anybody that's worked with legacy systems, especially anybody that works with government clients, knows that there are challenges to that. But that's why it is so important to follow that step-by-step methodology. And phase one of CPMAI is business understanding, because we always say, make sure that you're solving a real problem, not one that you've just kind of made up. Also, don't do AI just to do AI. I think a lot of people now are feeling so much pressure that they have to do AI in air quotes, whatever that even means. And at all costs, they're like, we're just going to do AI. Just figure it out, right? You said, figure out use cases, figure out problems that, you know, even if they're not really painful. And then we run into all these issues down the road because we just jumped right in. We didn't figure out the problem that we're trying to solve, didn't figure out if we had access to that data, didn't figure out what the return on investment would be. So Ron and I have actually been speaking quite a lot lately, both in person and virtually. And the conversations that we have with these folks is really just wonderful. You know, you can always learn so much by talking to others. And that's why we try to get out there as much as we can. It's also why we love to hear from our listeners. So please reach out. We always do love to hear from you. And we like interviews like this because we get to see, you know, what's going on in the real world. And then how people are thinking about AI projects, actually going into AI projects. So we always love these insights. And we can say that you learn more from failures than you do from successes, because everybody always wants to, you know, promote the successes and maybe spin it in a way that everything looks so rosy. But data is messy. The real world is messy. These projects can be messy. So it is important to understand that. We always love to wrap up our podcast by asking our guests the same final question. No matter how many times we've asked, you're always able to bring in your own unique experiences and insights. to answer this. Some guests get very philosophical, others are very practical, some are personal, some are more professional in their answers with how they see this. So as a final note, what do you believe the future of AI is in general and its application to organizations and beyond?
Wow. I've really been looking forward to being asked this question, you know, having heard so many of your podcasts. You know, I certainly hope that AI will focus on the potential of AI for societal good. I mean, especially in the areas of healthcare, education, but there's also tremendous opportunities for small business and nonprofits. You know, my hope for AI for the good is that these technological advancements will help the human condition and create more equity and equality along the way. You know, in medical advancements, for example, you know, hyper-personalized medicine and healthcare. You know, the future of AI in healthcare is incredibly promising, you know, with the potential to revolutionize what we diagnose, treat, and prevent diseases. You know, by harnessing the power of AI, we can move towards more personalized medicine. I mean, not everybody needs to take one pill or to get one shot. You know, maybe you need a half a shot. Maybe I need two. You know, that's the hyper-personalization. You know, but bridging the educational gap is something else good that AI, I believe, can do. You know, it has the potential to transform education, especially for the underserved communities all around the world. You know, it can help identify learning gaps and offer targeted interventions for students, making education more inclusive and equitable. You know, creating operational efficiencies for small businesses. As I mentioned before, you know, I ran a small business, so my heart is with small business. You know, by their very nature, they're small, they're nimble, so they can react to these rapid changes from AI, I think, better than large businesses and certainly the federal government. You know, but they can benefit from many of the things, customer service advances, but without reducing headcount. So I think there's a great opportunity. And then for nonprofits. You know, nonprofits, AI offers them an invaluable tool, you know, for seeing patterns and donation trends, you know, engagement rates, program outcomes. You know, this means more effective allocations of their resources, better program designs, and advanced abilities to respond to emerging trends faster. So to me, you know, the future of AI lies in its potential to address some of these more pressing challenges facing the world today. You know, focusing on applications for medical cures, leveling the educational playing field. You know, AI can contribute a future where technology not only advances our capabilities, but also does so in a way to benefit humankind.
Well, that's the hope. And we, of course, you know, everything you said is just fantastic. I mean, that's clearly the belief. That's the hope of any sort of transformative technology. Make us better as a society and provide opportunities for us individually and in our organizations and in our communities. I mean, this is sort of our big hope. And I'm with you on that with education. I think in the very short term, I think AI's impact on education will be profound, right? Of course, it's being impacted on many other areas in the language and arts and, of course, marketing, you know. But in many other places, healthcare, it's been an area where we just had a bunch of interviews on that subject. Actually, South by Southwest was a topic of major conversation, AI specifically in the area of healthcare, both its opportunities and its risks. And so we're keeping a very close eye on that. And well, you know, maybe I'll share it offline, but there's been a lot of commentary, especially on the AI generated stuff. There's some new stuff out there that I'm personally very interested in AI generated music. And some of the musicians are despairing a little bit about that. And well-known rapper Jay Dilla actually has something really interesting to say. You should go out there and listen to that. I'll share it offline because I don't want to violate any copyrights here. So stay mindful of that. But I think on that note, I think, you know, positively, you know, this is a transformative moment. And I think, you know, interviews with folks like yourself who are actually putting AI into practice and doing it with best practices, not just spraying and praying AI and hope that something happens good along the way, or, you know, doing AI for the purpose of saying you're doing something with AI without a real purpose, right? And really putting these systems into place, as you mentioned, for delivering long-term value and reducing the risks and really pushing society forward. That's what this is all about. So I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, George, you're like such a fantastic guest. You're a fantastic CPMEI trainee and certified. We're just thrilled to have you share your insights with our listeners here on this podcast.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you, George. We're so excited you're part of the CPMEI community and that we had the opportunity to interview on today's podcast. So we will link to everything that we discussed in the show notes. We'll also link to the free Intro to CPMEI course for any of our listeners that are interested. Again, the link is aitoday.live/CPMEI, but we'll link to that in the show notes as well. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica, all rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.